the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music, updates on the Western La Crosse Association, another interview on the Massey Tunnel replacement, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up in the second half is the third act of the hour, Eaters of the Soils, Piss Kicker. The truck is 09-2016. That was 09-2016 from Eaters of the Soils, Piss Kicker. The fourth act is Phil Medics, Boundless and True, with Loss of Life. The music will be up shortly. Now I would like to provide updates on the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. On June 7th, the host Coquitlam Equinox frightened the Langley Thunder, led by Brad McIntyre's 3 goals, 3 assists, and Adam Noakes 2 goals, 4 assists at Poirier Sports Center. Just trying to find the score here. The final score was 11-3, Coquitlam. 2 games were on tap for June 8th. The visitors, Burnaby Lakers, deep 6 to Nanaimo Timbermen 9-3, led by Silas Richmond's 3 goals. Keegan Melanchuk's 52 saves at Frank Crane Arena. And Coquitlam trampled the host Maple Ridge Barrage 10-4, led by Adam Noakes' 3 goals, 3 assists. Christian Del Bianco's 37 saves at Cam Neely Arena. Coquitlam returned to action on June 11th against Langley, who were frightened for the second time in 4 days, this time at Langley Event Center 11-6, as the Equinox were led by Keen Moon's 2 goals, 4 assists, while Toru Morimatsu led the Thunder with 3 goals and 1 assist in the losing effort. On June 12th, the New West Salmon Bellies bested Victoria in a 12-9 barn burner at Queen's Park Arena, as the host Salmon Bellies were led by Mitch Jones, 3 goals, 5 assists, while Marshall King led the Shamrocks with 1 goal, 5 assists in the losing effort. Today sees New West going to Burnaby to confront the Lakers. The ball drop at Bill Copeland Arena is at 7:30 p.m.
Looking for a community who will support you on your academic journey? The Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all 3 SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. 2 points are awarded for a win and 1 point for a tie. The New West Salmon Bellies are 5-0 for first at 10 points. The Victoria Shamrocks are second at 4-1-1, 9 points. The Coquitlam Equinox are third at 3-2-1, 7 points. The Langley Thunder are fourth at 3-3, 6 points. The Maple Ridge Barrages are fifth at 1-3-2, 4 points. The Burnaby Lakers are 6th at 1-5, 2 points. And the Nanaimo Timbermen are dead last at 0-5 for 0 points.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Now I'd like to play my interview with the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, on the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project. Now recording. Hello, it's Steve Chong. Today is June 11th, 2025, and on the line is... Please introduce yourself.
Malcolm Brody, Mayor of the City of Richmond.
The Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, who first joined the Richmond City Council in 1996, is an 8-time mayor, first elected on October 29, 2001, in a by-election, after which he has served in numerous other capacities, particularly for Metro Vancouver and TransLink. Mayor Malcolm Brody is currently the chair for Richmond City's General Purposes Finance Committees. On top of the chair for the Metro Vancouver Finance Authority, a board director, and the vice chair of TransLink. Before getting into municipal politics, he was a lawyer serving Richmond for many years and earned a King Charles III Coronation Medal this year. Mayor Brody, thank you for the interview today.
My pleasure, thank you.
I would like to provide history on the Massey Tunnel replacement to my listeners for context. The Massey Tunnel replacement project has been a long controversy, with a 10-lane bridge replacement announced on September 20th, 2013 by the former BC Liberal Premier Christy Clark, to which you and the rest of the Richmond City Council opposed. The plans for the 10-lane bridge were revealed on December 16th, 2015, which the former Delta Mayor Louise Jackson applauded. But you and the former Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson, now the Federal Housing Minister, balked at the 10-lane Massey Bridge, which would have been tolled due to more vehicles getting into Richmond and Vancouver. On March 31, 2016, the Richmond Chamber of Commerce announced their support for the 10-lane bridge, but Metro Vancouver mayors rejected the 10-lane Massey Bridge 3 months later on June 29th, except the former Delta Mayor Louise Jackson, who vigorously opposed the rejection, citing a possible extension of the Canada Line. On July 24th, 2017, the Richmond City Council voted 8-1 to ask the newly elected BC NDP provincial government to cancel the 10-lane bridge replacement for alternatives. On September 6, 2017, the BC NDP government put a hold on the idea for an independent review, to which you applauded, despite $66 million already being spent on the 10-lane bridge project, as you implored the BC NDP government to consider a twin tunnel of 8 lanes, citing a resistance to future port development up the Fraser River by restricting long-haul ships and no visual impact to Richmond. While the Delta Mayor George Harvey originally supported the 10-lane bridge after getting elected in 2018, he ultimately walked the support back in October 2019 after concerns on the light and shade that a bridge would have posed and concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents in the northern tip of Ladner. An 8-lane tunnel to replace the current Massey Tunnel was endorsed by Metro Vancouver mayors on October 2nd, November 1st, 2019, and the BC NDP government ultimately chose a toll-free 8-lane tunnel over an 8-lane bridge on August 18th, 2021, with the design-build contractor, the Cross Fraser Partnership, a 5-team consortium chosen on July 23rd, 2024. However, the Massey Tunnel replacement project has been marred with multiple delays, as congestions in the current 66-year-old Massey Tunnel have worsened and some have suggested had the original 10-lane bridge replacement gone ahead at an estimated cost of $3.5 billion, with the lowest bid coming in at $2.6 billion, it would have been completed by now. Meanwhile, the current Massey Tunnel project is slated to be completed in 2030 at the earliest, with the original price tag at $4.15 billion, but there are fears that the cost could balloon. So the first question is, what is your personal preference between a bridge and a tunnel replacement this time?
There's no question in my mind that Richmond supports the tunnel project over the bridge. What was envisioned was the biggest, longest, highest span of its kind in North America. It would have been very complex. It would have had a number of disadvantages over the tunnel solution, and we had been in discussions with and had been calling on the BC Liberal government literally from the day that it was announced to reconsider. However, that was their decision and they went ahead with it.
Please elaborate on the disadvantages of the 10-lane bridge over the 8-lane tunnel or the twin tunnel.
There were many reasons for wanting the tunnel solution, one of which was the damage that it would cause to the agricultural community. The urban impact to the city of Richmond would have been very considerable, and the complexity of what the design entailed was a very large detraction.
On the other side of the Fraser River, some of Delta's elected officials, namely the councillor Dylan Kruger and BC Conservative South Delta MLA Ian Patton, have cited multiple concerns of the new tunnel, such as no possibility of the Canada Line extension, touching the Fraser River estuary, paving over farmland on both Richmond Delta, dredging the Fraser River, and cutting hundreds of trees at Dease Park, on top of two lanes being reserved for buses, which means there will just be three lanes each way. Please counter.
The former Liberal government, and I would include the two officials that you have named, are steadfastly in favor of the bridge option, and that stems from the fervor felt by former Premier Christy Clark as to this option. However, the real solution, all we're talking about is a river crossing. It's an important crossing, but it's a river crossing. And the real answer lies in getting people out of their cars and get them onto public transportation, which will not work for everybody, but it'll certainly work for a lot of people. So get people into a bus where you can take the place of 50 cars and have more buses going through the tunnel. That is the way you'll decrease congestion. But at the end of the day, all we're talking about is the crossing of the river, and this is far from the total solution to the problem of congestion.
Also, Harmon Bangu, the conservative transportation critic, pointed out transportation concerns of the 8-lane tunnel, trucks not being able to carry flammable goods, dealing with accidents in the new tunnel, just buses running in the new tunnel, no Canada Line extension, and the BC NDP government not knowing where the new tunnel will sit. Please respond.
The location for the new tunnel has been determined. The Canada Line will never be extended to go over a bridge or through a tunnel. If there is to be rapid transit, it'll be a completely different type, probably bus rapid transit. The idea of flammable materials not being able to go through a tunnel doesn't... I just don't think that that's a very relevant suggestion. If you have flammable materials, you should go some other way. And I think you talked about accidents. There's accidents on a bridge as there are accidents in a tunnel. So I just don't agree with those comments.
Explain Richmond's silence to recent delays to the Massey Tunnel replacement, contrary to Delta and the BC Conservatives. You could also correct me if I'm wrong here.
Say that again.
Explain Richmond's silence to recent delays to the Massey Tunnel replacement, contrary to Delta and the BC Conservatives. You could correct me if I'm wrong here.
Well, the BC Conservatives are an opposition party to government, so they're going to raise concerns about everything. Right now, the tunnel project is out for the environmental assessment, and I suspect that that will be soon finished. But what they did, instead of having one big project, which the previous government envisioned a project going from the Bridgeport Canada Line station right along the highway, right through the tunnel or over the river, and then onto the Delta side. What this government has done is to divide the transit improvements to the north end have been done. The Steveson Highway overpass and interchange, which was a major problem under the bridge project, is more or less halfway done, and that leaves the actual tunnel itself. These things take time. I don't like the delay any more than anybody else, but it is moving along.
Finally, as you said in the last answer, the BC NDP provincial government applied for an environmental certificate on May 9th for the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project, a toll-free 8-lane immersed tunnel, with public comments being open since May 22nd, an open house in Delta on June 4th, followed by another one in Richmond the next day, and public comments will close on June 22nd. There will be three questions in my last. When do you think that the project will be completed? At what cost? And the possibility that the final project will be a bridge instead of a tunnel?
Just like you mentioned earlier, that the tunnel should be finished by 2030, and I have no reason to doubt that timing. I don't know what the cost is going to be. It's a fully provincial project, so I haven't been involved in that, although that $4.1 billion is the only estimate that I've heard anytime recently, and I have no doubt that it will be a tunnel.
Thank you for this information session this afternoon. This interview will be edited and be online tomorrow. Furthermore, it will air on CJSF this Friday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Day.
You too as well.
That was my interview with the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, on the Massey Tunnel replacement. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On June 10th, the SPS tweeted that it is offering up to $25,000 to RCMP officers currently working in Surrey. 2 days later, on June 12th, the Surrey Police Board held another meeting where they went through its 2025 strategic plan mid-year update prepared by the Chief Norm Lipinski on a document from June 5th, provided the expenses and the number of SPS officers up to the end of April, prepared on May 29th. The SPS had spent just over $57.175 million from the yearly budget of just over $241.4 million, with 977 active employees on its payroll, 546 sworn members, 317 full-time and 114 part-time civilian employees, among other topics. On June 12th, DSPS released its newsletter for May and June, which provided recaps of important milestones, such as change of command ceremony on April 22nd, its 2024 report to the community released in May, which mentioned 525 officers, 464 civilian employees as of April 2025, and recent updates on the number of employees, currently at 543 sworn police officers, along with 472 civilian employees. So there is quite a discrepancy between the Surrey Police Board numbers in the number of SPS sworn police officers, along with the SPS 2024 report to the community and its May-June newsletter. Thank you for listening to episode 23 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North. I'd like to provide some updates on the Langley Blaze Invitational, with the North Shore Twins quintupling the Victoria Mariners 5-1 at McLeod Athletic Park. Also in the Northwest League, the Vancouver Canadiens absolutely destroyed the visitors Spokane Indians 15-0. Highlighted by 6 runs in the bottom of 4th, followed by another 5 runs in the bottom of 6. Furthermore, I would like to tell you that today is my last day on Fridays between 3 and 4 due to my work schedule. The next time I will be on air at CJSF is on Sunday, June 22nd, between 10 and 11 a.m.